Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. We'll read verses 8 through 16 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And let's finish on verse 16 together. Ready? But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, I believe this is one place that you, as well as we, enjoy being at. Thank you for that. Lord, you said that heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents, and boy, must have been a party today with what happened here this week and this day. Thank you for being here. Yet we stand before you needy. We're sinful. And because of that, we need the truth more than ever. May we not get so arrogant and so proud that we would say we don't need it anymore. God, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we listen so we could do more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
When I was a young man, it was my privilege and honor to turn the radio on every once in a while and hear a man by the name of Lester Roloff preach. Brother Roloff was an incredible man, and if Brother Roloff were known for anything in his times and years of ministry, it was for his faith in God. You and I are to live by faith. We're not to try faith every once in a great while, but we are to live by faith. Yeah, the Bible says that which is not of faith is sin. I wonder how many of us are living in sin. You say, well, I'm not a pervert. That which is not of faith is sin. You say, well, I'm not going out and getting drunk. That which is not of faith is sin. Say, well, I'm not crawling in the hay with somebody I'm not married to. That which is not of faith is sin. You and I as Christians are to live by faith. As often stated, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is all about, or it's all about instances and people, really, of superior faith. You find in Hebrews chapter 11, we read together verses 8 through 16 just a moment ago. But as you read, you see in Hebrews 11, the faith of Abel is mentioned. The faith of Enoch is mentioned. The faith of Isaac is mentioned. The faith of Jacob is mentioned. The faith of Moses is mentioned. The faith of Joshua is mentioned. The faith of Rahab is mentioned. The faith of Gideon is mentioned. The faith of David is mentioned. The faith of Samuel is mentioned. But the most prominent people mentioned in the Hall of Fame of Faith, that's Hebrews 11, are Abraham and Sarah. Nearly one-third of the verses in Hebrews chapter 2 are devoted to Abraham and Sarah. You know that Abraham is named 74 times in the New Testament? Abraham to this day has a great name among religious people. I look back and see the Gulens here. They're going to Israel as missionaries. The name Abraham means something over there. You know, not even just in what we'd call independent fundamental ranks. I mean all across the world in religions of all sorts. You mention Abraham and people set up and pay attention. But you say, what was the greatness of Abraham? Abraham went down in history because Abraham lived by faith. Abraham to this day is great among people because of his faith. God accomplished some wonderful things in and through both Abraham and Sarah. That means that a woman can live by faith just like a man can. Let me quickly tell the story. God calls upon Abraham and Sarah to leave their home, the Ur of the Chaldees. He asks them to start traveling, but he does not tell them where they're going. You say, what? Yes, God came to Abraham. He said, Abraham, pack your duds and hit up the road. But he didn't tell them their final destination. Can you imagine? No forwarding address. In other words, they couldn't go down to the post office and pick up a forwarding address packet, fill it all out to have everything passed on to their new final destination. You say, why? They did not know their final destination. They were to leave their home, leave their friends, and go to a place they knew not of. They were not fugitives. They were not running away. They were following God's plan. They were not vagabonds just looking for a home because they had no place to stay. No, they were following God's plan. They were heading for a home totally by faith. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody historically are to just pick up and go somewhere and just hope they find the right place to live. Once in a lifetime, once in history, God chose Abraham and Sarah to teach you and me how to live. He did it as an example to us. Do you know there are some that won't move to a destination that God tells them about by faith? I mean, there are some that God said, I want you to go and do this for me. He'd say, well, I'm not going to do that, even if God does tell me where to go. Abraham and Sarah moved by faith in the will of God. Abraham and Sarah, and I'm going to try to simplify faith a little bit tonight. I'm going to break it down to some very, very bite-sized bits. I believe this. I believe as we do this little bit of a study tonight, Abraham and Sarah, you're going to find that they had ears of faith. They had feet of faith. They had eyes of faith. They had lips of faith. And they had hearts of faith. You're going to see that their eyes, their ears, their feet, their lips, their heart were affected by their faith. And their eyes and their ears and their feet and their lips and their hearts responded to faith. I want to show it to you. We find it all in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me get started. Number one. These people that went down in history for great faith, they had ears of faith. Hebrews 11:8, we read it earlier, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, the Bible says here, he was called. Well, when you're called, you must hear the call. Let's be reminded of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, where it says, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, Abraham trusted the word of God immediately. He heard it and trusted it. He didn't debate it. He heard it and he trusted it. Repeatedly, we see of Abraham and Sarah this phrase, and the word of the Lord came to Abraham. You look at the stories of Abraham, and you'll see it over and over and over again. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, and the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, and the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. He was called. Hey, may I ask, when you're called, are you listening? Are your ears ears of faith? Sometimes God speaks to our ears, but our ears are not ears of faith. So we don't hear what God's saying. Sometimes God speaks to our ears through our Bible reading. Do you have ears of faith? Sometimes God speaks to our ears as we hear the preaching of the Word of God. Do you have ears of faith? Sometimes God speaks to our ears as we hear a Sunday school lesson. Do you have ears of faith? A true believer has his or her ears open so they can hear what God is saying to us. The Bible says in Matthew 13:9, "He who has ears, let him hear." That's not just talking about hearing the vibrations and the tones of sound. It is talking about your ears. Your perception ought to be tuned into God, and you ought to have faith immediately in God and what He requests of you. But it starts out with your ears. Do you listen to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God with an attitude of faith? You see, the Bible says by faith, when he was called to go out, he obeyed. What happened? He heard. He had ears of faith. But secondly, he had feet of faith. Feet of faith. Again, same passage that we read earlier, says in verse 8 and 9 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. He went out. His faith moved his feet to action. Faith does more than just listen. By faith, his feet obeyed what his ears heard. Listen to this, please. I wish I had time to repeat some of the statements that I'll make tonight. I wish I could spend as much time giving them to you as I worked on preparing them to give to you. But listen, I said, by faith, his feet obeyed what his ears heard. Folks, intellectual faith is not enough. That's only a start. Intellectual faith, intellectual faith, that in itself really is just all show. You say, I have faith. If that faith does not move you to do something, so what? Do you really have faith? God tells you to do something, you say, well, I have faith. Well, if you don't do something, you may have had a mental checkpoint with faith, but you have not exercised true faith. You see, intellectual faith is all show and no go, which virtually eliminates it from what is true faith. Emotional faith will change nothing. You've got religious people everywhere. Have faith in God. Well, what did your faith in God cause you to do this week? I have faith in God. To do what? What has your faith moved your feet to do? You heard it. It went in your ears. It went into your perception. But what did your ears cause your feet to do? Emotional faith changes nothing. We need our feet or our actions to act upon what our ears have heard. What could we accomplish for God if we wanted to? Well, Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing is impossible. But it takes faith. We can move a mountain with faith. I heard about that. I should not have faith I have. Well, you moved it out. I have great faith. Great faith produces great things. Yes, somehow we think if we say I have faith, that means you do. And some of you go around saying, I'm good looking. Case in point. Everything we say is not true. When Abraham and Sarah obeyed, they didn't even know where their feet would take them, but their feet followed their faith, and they ended up moving. They moved forward. See, there was a certain, and please listen to me, there was a certain type of insecurity that their faith produced. They moved forward, but they lived in a tent. You know, Abraham's tent is mentioned over and over again. A tent is not a permanent dwelling. Why? To remind us that their faith was causing them to move. faith makes our flesh insecure. Do you know when you step out by faith into something that's new, that's going to make you insecure? Now, Abraham was spiritually secure in God's plan, but hey, I'm sure that there was some insecurity. Don't you think that when he stepped out, God, boy, what's coming next? Thank God he stepped out. Spiritually, anyone who is living by faith is always a bit in a tent. There's always some insecurity around them. Why? You're always stepping out. You're always going somewhere. You know what we do, though? We all like that security. I don't want to step out and do something new. I don't want insecurity. See, when a permanent dwelling spiritually means that we're not living by faith, if you are totally surrounded by nothing but security, there's a problem.
Yes, sir.
You ought to be afraid if you're stepping out.
Yes.
You know, faith moves us out of our comfort zone. Faith says to you, step out. You say, but I've never done that before. I've never experienced that before. I want to stay right here where it's comfy, cozy. I just want to talk about faith. Let's all just get together and use the word faith. Faith, faith, faith. Faith, 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 faith. We all have faith. That's not faith. Faith is when your ears hear what God wants you to do, and you step out. When you step out, there's some insecurity involved. Please listen. Faith requires us to go beyond our own personal character. You know what we love to do? We love to say, I'm going to do something by faith, but we make sure it's something that is within our power to achieve. Because if it's within my power to achieve, I can say I have faith, but I do not want to be uncomfortable. I do not want to take a chance. I do not want to possibly fail. Try something that's bigger than you. That's what faith is. Abraham was in a tent. He had no permanent dwelling. It's all a part of the teaching of the faith of Abraham. He was not, it was a temporary situation. There was some insecurity involved. That's why it took a little more out of him. You see, as our feet of faith move us forward, we're not to be careless. And listen, when I say we're to be moving, we sing the song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." Now, just so you know, that's really a song about faith. We're just passing through. But don't shake your roots too deep in this world. Now, as you and I live by faith, and if we're living by faith, we've always got a little bit of insecurity about us because we're moving on for God. We're trying to do things for God. We're pushing ourselves beyond our own personal character. We're attempting big things for God. Bigger than maybe what we've done before. Bigger than what we've experienced before. And when we do that, now, let me say, you and I, we're to behave ourselves. We're not to become careless about what we do in this world. We're to be good neighbors while we're moving forward. We're to be good citizens and good employees and good parents. But we're to be on the move spiritually. If you and I are going to live by faith, that means we are to be growing in the Lord, stepping up and stepping out, creating some insecurity. Hey, you become a little insecure when you grow in the Lord. Because you're trying something new. Brother Bajan came and asked me to be a bus captain, and I was afraid. Yeah, everybody that was a bus captain for the first time was afraid. And they stepped out of their comfort zone. Brother Ellsworth contacted me and asked me if I'd be a Sunday school teacher, and I'm not sure I can do it. You got a perfect chance to try to do something by faith. If all you ever do is what you already know how to do, if all you ever do is do what you've already done, you're not living by faith. You're depending on your own character. You're depending on your own accomplishments. You're depending on your own achievement in life. Faith grows in our spiritual feet and our legs as we flex our faith muscles, you might say. A child begins to crawl, and then they learn to walk and take a step, and then two steps, and then many steps. What happens? The muscles in the legs begin to strengthen and coordinate. That's how we're to grow in the faith. You see, I said this. I said he had ears of faith, Abraham and Sarah. He had feet of faith. He stepped out. He was a bit insecure. Number three, I believe he had eyes of faith. We read it in Hebrews 11:10 where it says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God." Here it says he looked. He heard by faith. He stepped out by faith. Here we find out he looked by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:13, having seen them, it's talking again about Abraham and Sarah. People of faith keep their eyes toward heaven, not on this world. Abraham and Sarah's lives were not distracted by their heavenly vision, but they were successfully directed by their heavenly vision. You say, "Brother Owens, if I get my eyes on God, will I fail in this world?" No, you will succeed in this world, because God's plan for you is bigger than your plan for yourself. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, we hurt ourselves and we hurt Him. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we're going to hurt our faith in Him. For instance, when Eve saw that the tree was good for food, what happened? She sinfully took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but she would have never done that had she not been looking at it. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says when she saw that the tree was good for food, and then the rest of it's history. What a mess. The Bible says when Lot lifted up his eyes into the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened? Lot got to looking at the world. He got to looking at Sodom and Gomorrah. Took his eyes off of Jesus. We've got to have eyes of faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't make the mistake that Eve made. Don't make the mistake that Lot made. Listen, folks. Your outlook determines your outcome. Your outlook determines your outcome. It is a vision of faith that produces a victory of faith. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." I need to have ears of faith and hear what God says and step out. I need to have feet of faith and step out on what I've heard. I need to have eyes of faith and keep my eyes on God when I'm stepping out. I heard what He wanted. I took a step. I better keep my eyes on Him so I don't get off track. Where we're looking affects where we're living. You know, the greatest achievers in history have been the people who by faith could see the invisible and strive to reach it. People of faith see opportunities, not obstacles. If you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, you won't see all the obstacles, you'll see the opportunities. Keep your eyes of faith fastened on God. Moses did. Hebrews 11:27 says, "For he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Remember, I preached a sermon about 2 months ago. It was entitled, "Seeing the One That Cannot Be Seen." Keep your eyes on Jesus. You would be amazed if you'll just keep your eyes on God while the world's shooting at you and spitting at you and trying to pull you down. If you'll just keep your eyes on God, you won't even know what's going on around you. Said, "But Lord, how do you handle all the distractions and the negatives and all the hardship of life?" I just keep on watching Jesus and keep walking. You say, "But is there something going on around you?" Probably so, but I don't want to look at it, to be quite honest with you. I just want to keep my eyes on Jesus. I've been doing that for a long time. You say, "What is that? The blind leading the blind?" No, it is the blind following the One who sees. That's all it is. That's all it is. If I keep my eyes on Him, I'll reach my final destination. Don't let things distract your eyes from being eyes of faith. Distractions lead to detours, and we don't want detours. Eyes of faith, eyes of faith see potential. Eyes of doubt see problems. There's some of you, you need to get some faith and you need to become an optimist in regard to God. Stop being a pessimist. Well, what's God doing to me? How about what's God doing for you? How bad can it get? How good can it get? Eyes of faith see potential. Eyes of doubt see problems. We've got to have eyes of faith. Don't let things distract your eyes of faith. People that have faith see opportunities. People that don't have faith see obstacles. And folks, those aren't just fancy words that I've tied together in sentences. That's the truth. People of faith say, this is going to be a great trip. Others say, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We haven't even gone anywhere yet. Speaking of faith, I like this. There was a knock at the door. It was a small boy about 6 years old. Something of his had found its way into my garage, he said, and he said he wanted it back. Upon opening the garage door, I noticed two additions, a baseball and a broken window sporting a baseball-sized hole. How do you suppose that ball got in here? I asked the boy. Taking one look at the ball, one look at the window, and one look back at me, the boy explained, wow, I must have thrown my ball right through that hole. Now there's a boy that's exercising faith. Folks, the just are to live by faith. Remember the statement I made at the beginning of the sermon. We're not to try a little bit of faith just a couple of times in life. We are to live by faith. I'm to listen by faith. I'm to walk by faith. Hey, I am to make sure that I have my eyes on the Lord and I see by faith. I'm to have lips of faith. Abraham did. Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Here the Bible says, these of great faith in Hebrews 11, they confessed their faith in God. Hebrews 11:14 says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. In other words, Abraham, people ask Abraham, where are you going? And he said, I'm not sure, but it's going to be great. He said, where's your God leading you, Abraham? And he said, I don't know, but it's a wonderful place. I seek a country. What's the country? It's God's country, and it's better than anything else being offered. See? People were questioning. Well, let them question you all they want. Just talk about God and where God's taking you. It says such things. You see, we speak with our lips. What happened? They shared their vision. They shared what God was doing. Acts chapter 4, verse number 20, it says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. People of faith are not ashamed to speak of their faith. Somebody asks you, hey, bus worker, somebody asks you, why do you give your day on Saturday going out there on those bus routes? You just tell them, say, well, one of these days I'm going to go to heaven. And when I get to heaven, God's going to be giving out some rewards. And I'm going to give me some rewards. Every single person that gets saved off my bus route, I have a little part in that. And I'm pleasing Jesus. And when I get to heaven, it's going to be a great thing. And I'm looking forward to it. Just go ahead and tell them. Go ahead and tell them why you're serving. Go ahead and tell them why you sacrifice for the Lord. Don't be afraid to testify of it. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Don't be afraid to speak of what God's doing. Don't be afraid to speak about how God is leading us. I often share with you my goals and our, you know, I'll say to you this year, let me tell you something we're going to do. Well, we have not done them all yet, but I'm not afraid to speak of what I think God's going to do. I'm not afraid of it. We're to have ears and feet and eyes of faith. And if you have ears and feet and eyes of faith, it's going to affect your lips. You're going to talk about it. Let me give you another and I'm finished. We need a heart of faith. And again, Hebrews chapter 11, Most of it attributed to Abraham and Sarah, and once again we see the faith of Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 15 and 16 says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." You see, it seems that our ears hear, and our eyes see, and our feet follow, and our lips speak of whatever our heart desires. Look, your ears hear, your eyes see, your feet follow, your lips speak of what? Whatever you want. Whatever's most important to you. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Matthew 12, verse 34 says, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." You tell me what you talk about, I'll tell you what's going on in your heart. Go get in a conversation with Damian Seguri. He'll tell you about somebody who won to Jesus Christ. There are certain people, you go talk to them, they've got faith in God in their heart, and it comes out in their conversation. Abraham and Sarah had dedicated hearts. They had hearts of faith. Now, they weren't perfect. They made their mistakes, but I believe they were dedicated. They were set on trusting God long term. You know what I see about Abraham and Sarah? I don't think that they rented a storage unit back at home when they took off traveling and said, "You know what? If this doesn't work out, we'll just come back." They had plan A, faith in God, and no plan B. You check. They said, "All right, God, and get it." They didn't even know where they were going. They had no idea what was in the future. But they said, you know what? Reckless abandonment for God by faith. We're not talking about stupidity, but we're talking about God spoke to them. It was clear. Came in their ears. They stepped out. They seen it. They talked about it. They moved upon it. And they didn't have a plan B. Abraham had only one plan. You know why he went down in history as one of the greatest men of faith in the Bible? Because Abraham's heart of faith only had one plan for him and his family. Do you know something? Mrs. Owens and I were saved in our mid-teenage years when we got married. We have never had any optional plans for our marriage and our family, but being in an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church and rearing our kids according to that book. Never had any other plan. We don't sit around and try to figure out how to escape it. We don't sit around and try to figure out how to get out of this thing. We have never had any plan but that. None. We don't have an escape plan from the church. We're not trying to figure out how to get out of here. No, we're not. 7 years ago, put everything that I owned in a U-Haul. Moved to a place that God knew not of. I came to Martinsburg, West Virginia. So you all know, I don't have a storage unit with things back in Indiana just in case it gets tough so I can put my tail between my legs and run. Run it all with me. Every last bit of it. Moved my bank accounts. Got me a new barber. Well, I brought my barber with me. No plan B. No escape plan. Just came to Martinsburg, West Virginia. What for? I could see God doing some great things. And I just kept stepping toward Him. What's tomorrow hold? I don't know. Something big. Abraham's heart of faith only had one plan for him and his family. Do you have a heart of faith? Do you desire with passion His will for your life? Or do you have an escape plan? How do I get out of this? How can I get out of this without being seen when I get out? how can I sneak out and away from this? I have no escape plan. Don't want to escape. You see, as you study the scripture, you'll see it. Abraham had ears of faith. Abraham had feet of faith. Abraham had eyes of faith. Abraham had lips and spoke of his faith. Abraham had a heart of faith. And I tell you, I have cold chills about what I'm going to say here. In Hebrews 11, verse number 16, let me read this to you. It says, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." You know what God said about Abraham and Sarah? God said, "I'm not ashamed to be called the God of Abraham and Sarah." We're not saying that Abraham and Sarah were not ashamed to have God. We're saying God said He's not ashamed to claim Abraham and Sarah. Now, right there, something. God looked down and said, "See those two people right there, Abraham and Sarah? They're mine." Put it in the Bible. "I'm not ashamed to claim them." Does that mean there's a possibility that there are some that God might be a little ashamed to claim? He surely does qualify them as ones that He is not ashamed to claim. Based on what? Faith. Faith. "The just shall live by faith. That which is not of faith is sin." Would you like to develop the kind of faith where God can turn to others in heaven and say, "You see that fellow right there? You see that woman right there? I'm not ashamed to be called their God." Oh, what accomplished such a tremendous compliment? Faith. It was faith. Remember, faith is when you go beyond your own personal character. Faith is when you create a certain physical, human insecurity because you're out of your comfort zone. Now, I don't know about all of you, but let me be real honest about me. Faith turns my stomach inside out. I don't mind doing things I already know how to do. I'm so scared to death to fail, it's pathetic, so sometimes I can hide behind my accomplishment. If I can do it, let's do it. But you know, I've got a problem. God keeps pushing me and saying, "I want more." I said, "I've never done that before." He said, "Good, it's about time for you to do something by faith and quit depending on your training to help you." Goodness. I don't like that. I can fail. I better just keep my eyes on Him. You're going to have to guide me through this thing. And He says, "That's exactly what I had in mind. Now step out." Faith. Faith. We are to live by faith. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.